All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining Dr. Gilligan and I, and believing when I say he has some more insights. And one of the things that you were sharing with us, Dr. Gilligan, as we went to that last break, was that shaming, as traumatic as it can be, is necessary but not sufficient?
Yes, to cause violence. When I say that, what I mean is clearly it takes more than just having been shamed or humiliated or insulted or disrespected to cause somebody to become violent, because we're all shamed at one time or another.
Yes, sir.
And often, you know, many, many more times than once. And yet most of us don't commit a serious act of violence mm-hmm. in our lifetimes. So clearly other preconditions have to be in place. I think I've identified a few of them. I'm sure there are many, many more as well. But one is a person needs to be shamed, I'd say, ultimately to the point where they really feel overwhelmed by it, where they feel in danger of undergoing what I referred to earlier as the death of the self, just feeling that they've been wiped out as a human being, and that it's this extreme shaming, which I think is often the difference between what most people experience, because we all experience, I think, milder forms of shaming, but it really becomes overwhelming, particularly if it takes the form of child abuse, which can be either, you know, physical abuse, causing physical injury, or it can be sexual abuse, which can cause great psychological and emotional injury, with or without causing physical injury, and so on. Another thing that I think is very important here that is the gender roles. Men are taught, I would say more than women are, that you have to be violent in many situations in order to be a man. In other words, a boy who's bullied and won't fight back is often considered a sissy, or will consider himself a sissy. And I think girls are often taught that they shouldn't fight, that it's not feminine to fight. Mm-hmm. It's masculine to fight, but it's not feminine to fight. And these are, you know, kind of silly, but traditional gender roles that we've all grown up with. They're part of the tradition of our society and most others. And people are only recently begun to question those. But the point I'd make is, I think being raised as a male is one of the preconditions that makes people who have been shamed more likely to commit violence. The vast majority of violence in the world is committed by men, not women. More than 80% of homicides, suicides, almost 100% of fatalities caused in wars, and so on, have all been committed by men, not women. So that's an important precondition also. I've written about all this. If people are interested,
I definitely wanted to ask you about books, because I know a lot of people are going to want to get more information. I'm sure that as detailed as you were today, they're going to want, they're probably saying, wow, he really whet my appetite. Could you talk about two things briefly with us? One, what books you've written and where we can find them. And then if you could talk briefly also about some possible solutions to this world of violence.
Okay, sure. Let me just briefly mention books if people want to read more about this, because I've only hit the high points here. I wrote a book called Violence, Reflections on a National Epidemic. That's about the causes of violence. I've written another book called Preventing Violence, and which is what the title tells what it's about. And a third is, that refers to the political parties, is called Why Some Politicians Are More Dangerous Than Others. All three of those books are available in paperback. You can get them online by through Amazon or Amazon.com or really any local bookstore. I love to encourage local bricks and mortar bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
But those three titles could open the way to more learning about this. As far as prevention, I'd say the most important thing is to create a world in which everybody feels they are being treated with respect, that people care about them, a society in which, as one person put it, all are responsible for all. That is, we are all responsible for each other. We all need each other's help. We are all interdependent. We can give help to others, and we all need help from others. And we need to create a society in which people are not going to be just abandoned or dropped by society. The more we do that, the lower the rates of violence become.
Dr. Gilligan, you've done an outstanding job of certainly providing insights. And I'm very, very hopeful that you've given information that has empowered a lot of people to soften their hearts towards the violence and to begin to at least consider that they may be looking at causes other than what they may have traditionally thought were the causes, and start helping us move towards the solutions, creating a society where we have mutual respect and we're mutually responsible for everyone, regardless of color, regardless of gender. We're responsible for all. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you very much, Carl. Happy that you invited me to share this with you.
Quite welcome. And everybody, I do want to encourage you. Let's do this. Let's make a pact to do our part to make a better society. That society that Dr. Gilligan talked about, the society of mutual respect and mutual responsibility, with all the benefits that that can bring us. What a great way to let some of life's best moments come through each one of us. Till next time.